But from that issue, looking at, I suppose, another aspect of fertility, this time with Nick Cameron. Now, she is one of the authors of It's Okay to Cry, Finding Hope When Struggling with Infertility and Miscarriage. It's a book, Nick, you've written with your husband.
That's right.
And I suppose in a sense it tells your story. And when you hear about your testimony, then I suppose people can get a grasp of how you've become so informed on this topic. Do share that with us.
Okay. My husband and I got married back in 1995 and assumed, like most people when they first get married, that we were going to have children, and discovered shortly after we got married that it wasn't straightforward. So we got involved with going to doctors and things like that. And basically our story is that we couldn't conceive naturally. The hospital said that was not possible. And so we looked for a Christian book that would help us, just somebody to point us to God in the midst of it. And we just couldn't find somebody who'd say, we've been there, we know how you feel, but this is God in it. And so we wrote a book, just our testimony of what we've learnt, things that we've experienced. And it shows the good times and the bad times. But we know that we've got an awesome God. So
I wondered whether, you know, when we talk about the infertility, and as you said, that you get married and you kind of think that it's all going to happen and, you know, there's not going to be any problems. I wonder when there was obviously, okay, you know, you were trying and you weren't getting pregnant. I wondered whether you went through the issue of both kind of thinking, well, it's probably you know,
yeah,
looking at the other partner and going, well, actually, it's probably your fault, but they're not actually communicating that with each other.
Yeah, it did cause an area where we didn't communicate for a while. But, you know, I think now our relationship is so much stronger because we have been through this and we've learned to communicate. And initially, initially when you first start thinking, well, who's the problem with? What's the problem? And, you know, we walked into the hospital expecting answers and we left with a label of infertile. You just see them write this on your file. So instead of getting answers, we got a label. And for Christians, that's, you know, it's one of those subjects that's so taboo, nobody talks about it, and we just really struggled with that. And we were like, we were really in the middle of this and finding it hard, and we haven't got people who we can talk to. And God provided us with people that we could talk to. But it is such a taboo subject in the Christian world, you know, people just don't talk about it.
Well, I suppose in terms of when they did write that label on your file, infertile, how did that kind of take a toll on you as a woman? Because especially in the Christian community, perhaps more than maybe in others, we are kind of seen as, you know, you come together and you create this family. That is one of the kind of duties in marriage. And if you can't do that, how does that kind of affect you? How does it affect your faith?
Well, affecting me personally, I felt a failure, ashamed, just inadequate, not a complete woman. And it's very hard to explain that, but it your self-esteem takes a nosedive. Mine took a big nosedive. But it's not what I think about me, it's what God thinks about me. That's the important thing. It's the truth in his word that, you know, I'm adopted as his child, and that he loves me whether or not Malcolm and I ever have a child or not. His love for me isn't going to change, and that's awesome. That's totally awesome.
Well, I imagine I think is going to be so encouraging to women listening today. But I imagine that's not how you felt initially, that you had to kind of work towards, you know, towards that. And that initially that kind of feeling is, yes, I can't do anything about this. I mean, what did you kind of do at that point when you both were told that news? Where did you go? Did you turn to the Bible, or did you kind of walk away from your faith?
I think it was a shock and a crushing shock, and you just end. Well, we just ended up like in shock, really, that this was happening to us. You know, you look at other people and people the same age and they're having kids, and you think, well, that should just happen to us, but it didn't. And at the time, I would say, I probably had a nice front on of everything's okay, thank you very much, we're doing okay, but inside I was broken. And to be honest with you, when went downwards, really struggled with my faith, struggled with why us, struggled with, you know, have I done something wrong, am I being punished, and all things like this. But you know what, over these years, God's really, he's just, my relationship with him has just grown, and it's taken a long time to get to this point, but yeah.
You just touched on there where you know it did affect you in the kind of day-to-dayness of your faith and how you went about. I mean, I wonder how before you went in and the doctor told you this and afterwards, how did it affect you on a day-to-day basis? What things did you do differently that you knew actually I'm not coping with this?
Oh, that's a big question. I don't know. I think day-to-day for me at the time was putting on this front of I'm okay and making sure that people around me didn't know how I was feeling or how Malcolm was feeling. Both of us, we didn't really talk about it, and so we put on a, you know, we're okay, but you know, at the time we were broken and hurting. And
how did that must have come out in some aspect? Did it come out in tears in the bathroom? How did it work, I suppose?
Yeah, I guess I wept alone a lot. And on occasions I wept with Malcolm, but I found it very hard to talk about. And so Malcolm and I came up with a code word. So he'd used to say to me, "What's up with you?" And I'd go, "Oh, it's just stuff." And so if I said stuff, he would know that I was just struggling with the whole thing. And he would just be like, "Okay." And, you know, we've learned to talk about it, but it has taken a long time. It's been a long road, and it's been a hard road, but we have... I suppose day-to-day faith, though, is making a choice every day now. This is, I'm going to look to God today, and I'm going to pray that God helps me through today. And be honest with him, isn't it?
One of the things you do focus on in the book is that perhaps people don't immediately think that there is help and guidance in the Bible, but you found many scriptures which can support a couple through this. Can you share some of those with us?
Yeah, sure, no problem. The verse that I love is in Habakkuk, in chapter 3, where... Habakkuk goes, even though there's no food in on the vine, and no, I can't even remember off the top of my head, but at the end of this list of even though this and this and this, yet I will praise the Lord. And for Malcolm and I, the story for us is, even though there is no child, even though there's no pregnancy, yet I will praise the Lord. And you know, there's so many scriptures in the Bible, in the Psalms, you know, desperate times when people call out to God and he's there. And Lamentations chapter 3, where, you know, he's going through a really tough situation. He says, "Yet this I will call to mind, and therefore I will have hope." You know, about God's faithfulness and that his mercies are new every morning. And that's been our testimony, that we're going to praise even though this situation hasn't happened. And again, another one that I love is in Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in Daniel chapter 4, where they say, you know, even though we know that our God is able to save us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down and worship your idol. We will praise our Lord. And that's, for me, that's something that I've had to really learn, that, you know, I know God is able, but even if he does not answer my prayers and give us a child, I will still worship him and still serve him. So there's a few scriptures that help me.
I wonder though, how did you come across these? Is it because sometimes you kind of are reading and you're drawn to something, you know, you just kind of are drawn to a verse, mm-hmm. or was it that other people kind of shared with you, you know, the revelation of what that, how that had spoken to them, and then you became aware of it? How did you find this kind of support network right there in scripture?
It's just being in a fellowship where people, you know, the words of God is preached solidly and regularly, and hearing the word and being under the ministry of that word that has highlighted things for me, but also my own personal time with the Lord day by day, getting into the word and you know, just, I don't know, I can't go a day without picking up my Bible, because there's so much good stuff in there. And you know, and God speaks to us, he knows what we're going through on a certain day, and I don't know how he does it, but he if you pick up the Bible every day and open it, he seems to speak into your life through his words, and it's just awesome.
We're speaking with Nick Cameron, author of It's Okay to Cry, Finding a Hope When Struggling with Infertility. Do stay with us as we continue to talk about infertility treatments, miscarriage, and I suppose what other help and support is out there for Christian women going through this. That's all on the other side of this.